Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, present...
Curtain Time!
Makers of the new Coconut Ping Bar welcome you to Curtain Time. Once again, the lobby is packed with eager theatergoers, and here, just as anxious as all the others, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's on the drama docket tonight?
A comedy, Myron. One I'm sure you'll get a kick out of. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seats 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, these are fine seats. But let's hurry and glance at the program before the lights are dimmed. Harry Elders, supported by the Curtain Time Players, is starred tonight in A Barn for the Bard by Joseph T. Fox. Mr. Elders plays the part of Peter Bradford, and Norma Ransom is featured in the role of Kate Bishop.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of A Barn for the Bard. The scene is a Vermont farmhouse. A very attractive young woman, dressed severely in a tailored suit, has just opened the front door.
Auntie, I'm home.
Kate!
Oh, Kate, it's so good to have you back.
Oh, it's so good to be there. Oh,
but I just got your cable from Paris last night that you were coming.
I know. I decided to take a plane at the last minute instead of the boat.
Oh, Aunt Felicia, you don't know how wonderful it is to be home.
I'm so happy, too, my dear.
I'm going to settle down right here on the farm and never roam again.
I hope so, Kate. You've had me worried chasing all over Europe the last 2 years as a foreign correspondent. But that's no occupation for a young girl.
Well, I'm fed up myself with crowds and people and noise.
I should think so.
All I want to do now is just relax. And this is the place for it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm going to do tomorrow?
What?
I'm going out in the pasture barefooted. Hitch up old Samson and plow the garden for you.
Oh, no.
I want to plant my feet deep in the good, warm Vermont earth once again.
Well, now,
and in a few minutes, I'm going upstairs and put on some dungarees. These store clothes are killing me.
You're still the same, Kate.
Oh, gee, it's quiet and peaceful here. Oh, how's Maisie? She was only a heifer when I left.
Oh, Maisie's fine. She's expecting a calf any day now.
Oh, well, after I put on my old duds, I'll go out in the barn and see her.
Kate, Maisie's not out in the barn.
Oh, where is she?
In the shed in the north pasture. The horse is there, too.
But what's wrong with the barn?
Well, I rented the barn.
Rented it? To whom?
Oh, to some city folks.
Oh, Aunt Felicia, no. What would anyone from the city want with a barn that size? Why, it's the biggest barn in the county.
That's why they wanted it.
But I don't understand.
Well, I wrote you all about it in my last letter, dear, but I guess it didn't catch up with you.
Look, Auntie, just why did these people want our barn?
Why, they're making it over into a summer theater.
Oh, no. Auntie, how could you do this to me?
Oh, Kate, I know this farm is yours, but that nice Mr. Peter Bradford.
Good. Mr. Bradford.
Well, he's the producer. And he said he'd pay me $100 a month rent for the barn. And I thought you could use the money.
Good heavens, a summer theater. Has he paid you anything yet?
Well, no. But he's got an honest face.
Well, honest face or no honest face, he's got to leave. Yes, come in.
Now, greetings and felicitations, dear lady.
Oh, dear, what is this?
Hello, Mr. Wolfington.
And what have we here? Oh, I say, a veritable Juliet. Her beauty makes this room a feasting presence full of light.
You mean me?
I take it, Miss Felicia, this is your niece, the wandering scribe.
Yes, this is Kate. Kate, this is Mr. Wolfington.
Mr. Wolfington.
Cornell Wolfington, my dear. I am starring in the leading role of Peter Bradford's first production here in this rustic retreat, Shakespeare's immortal Julius Caesar.
That's what you think.
I beg your pardon.
Now, Kate, Mr. Wolfington, there's only one thing I want produced in my barn. Milk.
Milk?
I'm afraid you and Mr. Bradford will have to find another barn for the barn.
Oh, surely you can't be serious, dear girl. We've been rehearsing for over 2 weeks now, and our curtain goes up next Monday night.
Not on this farm, Mr. Worthington. Please, Aunt Felicia, let me handle this. Mr. Worthington, where may I find Mr. Bradford?
Why, in yonder barn, of course. Molding and shaping our talented group of thespians.
Well, I'm going down and tell Mr. Bradford his talented thespians will have to thest somewhere else.
Jim, lower the borders a little and then bring up that amber spot a trifle.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm sorry, miss. We're not hiring any more extras. Okay, Jim, try your footlights again,
will you? I'm looking for Mr. Bradford.
Well, I'm Mr. Bradford, but we've got all the supers we need. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
You won't be here that long.
What's that?
I said...
Say, who are you?
I'm Kate Bishop, and I own this farm.
Oh, your aunt told me about you. You're the,
Wandering scribe, yes. But I've come home to roost.
Well, now...
Mr. Bradford, you will have...
Don't say it, Miss Bishop. I know it's about the rent. Well, the first money that comes into the box...
I don't want any money.
You don't?
No.
Well, that's very generous of you. Of course, your aunt did strike a hard bargain, especially since we've had the expense of making over this barn into a theater.
Mr. Bradford...
I'll tell you what, though. Suppose I give you some season pass.
Mr. Bradford, I'm trying to tell you that you and your meandering minstrels must go.
Go? Go where?
I'd rather not say... But I want you off these premises by tomorrow morning.
Off these Now, see here, I've been rehearsing 18 hours a day for 2 weeks, and the last few days I've been hearing strange noises, but did you say what I thought you said?
I did, and I meant it.
But I...
For the first time in 2 years, I have a chance to come home and get away from it all.
Sure.
And what do I find when I get here? My livestock turned out to pasture. My dear, sweet maiden aunt all a-twitter over an ancient Shakespearean actor with a lean and hungry look.
Miss Bradford,
and the inside of my barn practically demolished to make way for a summer theater operated by an impecunious producer who can't even raise the first month's rent, and I came home for a rest.
Wonderful. Superb.
I beg your pardon?
What fire. What emotion. Miss Bishop, you're pursuing the wrong vocation.
I am?
Why, I'm sure Bernhardt or Ducey never showed such spirit and fire as you did just now.
Oh, now, you see
here.
Oh,
Miss Bishop, you're a born actress. And I'm going to star you in our next production. You'll be sensational.
Oh, no. I'm not falling for that routine today, thank you.
Oh, but...
A moment ago, you wouldn't even give me a job as an extra. Now, you want to make me a star.
But I'm serious.
And so am I. Look, you summer circuit Svengali, just fold your iambic pentameters and silently steal away. The only actress I'm interested in imitating is the one who said, I want to be alone. Now, get.
I will not.
What?
Miss Bradford, I have a little thing called a contract duly signed by your aunt.
It's not valid.
Oh, but it is. She told me you gave her power of attorney while you were away playing the role of a female Floyd Gibbons.
Why, you insufferable conniving...
Now, Miss Bishop, temper. It's bad for the digestion.
Honestly,
and that reminds me. I see it's time for dinner. Let's go. Your aunt's a wonderful cook, you know.
You don't mean you're...
Right
you're...
again. Cornell and I are staying at your farmhouse, Miss Bishop, so you'd better get used to it.
Oh, dear.
As Cornell would say, we're here for an extended engagement, dear lady. To be precise, we're remaining for the entire summer. Well, shall we dine?
I should say not.
But why not?
Because if there's one thing I detest for dinner, it's ham.
Time play, starring Harry Elders and featuring Norma Ransom. Say, Myron Wallace, you know, you were right about the new coconut ping bar.
Oh, do you like it, Pat?
I'll say I do.
Well, I'm not surprised. The new coconut ping bar is a real treat with that sweet dark chocolate coating, that thick layer of fresh white coconut, and the smooth, rich nougat center. You know, it is the combination of that sweet dark chocolate, fresh white coconut, and smooth, rich nougat that gives you that rare taste blend you'll find only in the new coconut ping. For a real taste thrill, try the new coconut ping.
Says, musical for the second act of A Barn for the Bud, brought to you by the makers of the new Coconut Ping Bar. When Kate Bishop, the foreign correspondent, arrived at her Vermont farm seeking rest and quiet, she discovered her Aunt Felicia had rented the barn to a troupe of actors headed by Peter Bradford. Well, it's now later the same day, after supper. Kate and her aunt are alone.
Kate, dear, why don't you have a cup of tea and a piece of cake?
Oh, no, Auntie, I'm just not hungry.
Dear me, I feel awful about all this. And then when you wouldn't come down to dinner tonight...
Auntie, as long as those two fugitives from a medicine show remain in this house, I'll have my meals in my room.
Goodness, they've upset you so. I just wish I knew some way to send them packing.
Oh, it's not your fault, Auntie.
Well...
But if Peter Bradford had an ounce of decency in him, he'd see he'd disrupting our whole lives. And contract or no contract, I'm going to find a way to get rid of him.
Well, dear, you just get a good night's sleep, and maybe tomorrow we'll think of something.
Oh, Josh, good evening.
Evening, Miss Felicia. Nice to see you back, Miss Kate.
Hello, Josh. It's nice to see you again, too. Are you still our hired man, or are you an actor now?
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Josh, why are you standing there twisting your cap in your hands like that?
Well, I come up to tell you about Maisie and,
What about her?
Is she all right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. She's all right, now.
Josh Coolidge, you can be the most exasperating man. Did Maisie have her calf?
Yes, ma'am, she did. She had it in the barn.
In the barn? Hmm. But Auntie said she was in the shed in the north pasture.
Well, she was, but she moved. When she saw her time was nigh, I reckon she just thought she liked the barn better to have her calf in.
Oh, dear.
Besides, don't blame her. Before them play acting folks come up here, that was her home, you know.
Yes, Josh, we know. But I'm Maisie and her calf all right.
Well, Maisie's doing as well as can be expected under the circumstances.
And the calf?
Well, there you got me. There's something mighty peculiar about that calf.
Oh, for goodness sake, Josh, what?
Miss Kate, that calf of Maisie's has two heads.
Josh Coolidge, have you been at that cider again?
Nope, so help me, I ain't.
A two-headed calf?
Yep, counted them myself. One, two. There they was, big as life.
Good heavens, what's next?
I knew no good had come of having them show folks around here. Well, I thought you'd want to know about Maisie. See you later, folks.
Oh, Auntie, this is too much.
But, my dear,
we... A summer theater in our backyard. Actors eating us out of house and home. And now, a two-headed calf.
Well, there you are, Miss Kate. Count them yourself.
Oh, that poor calf. What's she going to do with two heads, Josh?
Probably eat double.
Oh, this isn't a joking matter, Josh.
Oh, sorry. Just making a funny, Miss Kate. Well, I'll run along and fetch some hay for me.
Hey, what's going on here backstage? I'm just about to start rehearsal and... Oh, it's you, Miss Bishop.
Yes, Mr. Bradford. Any objections?
What are that cow and this calf doing here? Yipe! That calf, it's got...
Two heads.
It's an illusion. I have been working too hard.
Oh, no, Mr. Bradford. They're the real McCoy.
The last time I saw an animal with two heads, it was in a sideshow at a circus.
On the same bill with you, I suppose.
Miss Bishop, I still want to know what these animals are doing in my theater.
Your theater? You mean my barn.
See here, I'm a patient guy, but I'm not going to rehearse Julius Caesar with cow moves for a background. Get that cow and her double-domed offspring out of here.
Well, Maisie can't be moved just yet, not in her condition.
You mean you're going to use this place for a lying-in hospital for that livestock?
Until such time as we feel that Maisie can be up and around, yes.
I'm warning you, Miss Bishop.
Oh, Peter, my lad.
Yes, yes, what is it, Cornell? I'm busy.
You want me to start rehearsing the death scene?
Yes, go ahead. I'll be with you in a minute. I have a little unfinished business here with Miss Bishop.
Very good, my lad. I'll commence.
Now, Miss Bishop, three nights from tonight, my first curtain goes up. And I swear by that two-headed calf there, if you interfere in any way, I'll...
Are you threatening me, Mr. Bradford?
I'm not threatening you, I'm telling you.
Don't you shout at me, you bucolic Velasco.
See? Juggalo, that animal is ruining Wolfington's performance.
Mr. Bradford, Maisie's moves are dulcet tones. compared to the ranting of that ham actor you've got out there chewing up the scenery. He sounds like a hog caller.
You ought to know. I'll bet you've called plenty of hogs in your day.
Let me a little show.
That doesn't, Mr. Bradford. Earlier tonight, I was ready to go back to work and send in my stories on those nice, quiet revolutions. Anything to get away from this.
Well, why don't you?
Oh, no. Not now. This is a fight to the finish, and before I get
sorry
through...
to interrupt this little tete-a-tete, but how did you like my death scene, Miss Kate?
There's only one thing wrong with it.
What's that, my dear?
It wasn't real.
Why, of all...
You were only acting. Come in. Oh, good morning, Josh.
Morning, Miss Kate. Well, them fellas with the tent are outside, ready to put it up. What do you want it?
Right in front of the barn, Josh.
It's a mighty big tent, ma'am.
The bigger, the better. And, oh, yes, did you pick up those things I ordered done at the printer's last night?
Yep, right here in this package. They said they'd done a rush job for you. Worked most of the night.
Good. And when you finish telling the men where to erect the tent, get the car and come back here. I have a job for you.
Yes, ma'am.
By the way, how are Maisie and her calf doing this morning?
Well, Maisie has quite a job feeding it. The calf can't quite make up its mind which head to use. See you later, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Wasn't that Josh who just left?
Yes, it was, Auntie. The men are here with the tent.
See, now, do you think you should do this?
Oh, why not?
Well, that Mr. Bradford's such a nice young man, and, well, Cornell's not such a bad sort once you get used to his manner.
Oh, so now it's Cornell. Auntie, don't tell me you and... Oh, no.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies. Ah, when did morning ever break and find such beaming eyes awake? You look charming this morning, Felicia.
Thank you, Cornell. You look like Bert yourself.
Good heavens.
Is that ambrosia these nostrils smell? No, no, I'll wager it's your delicious muffins, dear lady.
Well, I just put a batch in the oven, Cornell. They'll be done soon. I hope you like them.
Look, Auntie, while you and the third grave digger here put on the feed bag, I'm going out and see about the tent. And, Auntie.
Yes, dear?
Save one muffin for me, will you, please? Morning, Maestro. Lovely day, isn't it?
We can dispense with the social amenities, Miss Bishop. Who's responsible for putting this tent in front of my theater?
I am.
You are?
Yes. I'm putting on a show of my own.
What?
Haven't you heard? Here's one of my posters.
Let me see that.
Josh is out now, tacking them up all over the county. Had them printed last night.
Come one, come all. See the greatest attraction ever to be exhibited in the state of Vermont. Maisie the Second, the Two-Headed Calf. You mean you're going to exhibit that two-faced monstrosity in front of my theater?
You'll catch on fast, Mr. Bradford. In fact, you gave me the idea.
I gave you the idea.
Remember last night you said you hadn't seen a two-headed calf since you went to the circus?
Oh, now, see here, you can't do this to me.
Oh, but I am. You may have rented my barn, Mr. Bradford, but not the grounds outside.
Wait.
And folks around here will pay more to see a two-headed calf than they will to see Shakespearean actors. Even two-headed Shakespearean actors.
Before we renew the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and featuring Norma Ransom, here is Myron Wallace.
The next time you feel hot and hungry and tired in the middle of the afternoon, just treat yourself to the real pleasure of a chilled Ping Bar. For in the new Coconut Ping Bar, chilled, you enjoy the finest summer candy treat. A sweet dark chocolate coating, now icy cold and crisp. A thick layer of fresh white coconut, all over a soft, cool nougat center. All melt together in your mouth to make every bite of a chilled Ping Bar a truly thrilling summer treat. Right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. For a real taste thrill, try the new Coconut Ping.
Curtain time!
There's third act of A Bun for the Bun, brought to you by the makers of the new Coconut Ping Bar. When Maisie's calf was born with two heads, Kate Bishop decided to exhibit it in front of the barn Peter Bradford has converted into a summer theater. In this way, she hopes to get rid of Mr. Bradford and his thespians. Well, it's now later. Cornell Woofington is with Peter in the latter's room.
Oh, come, Peter. You can't sit here and mope like a rueful schoolboy.
What do you want me to do?
Oh,
Every time I look at that tent, I get the shudders. Shakespeare competing with a two-headed calf.
Well,
I guess we'd better fold. She's got us licked.
Licked?
That's what I said.
My boy, where's your fighting spirit? You must take arms against this sea of troubles. You must refuse to suffer these slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Look, Cornell, stop sounding like Bartlett's quotations.
Ah, but sweet is revenge to woman, especially when she's crossed.
I'm the one who's been crossed. Double crossed.
My boy, she was aptly christened Kate.
What are you raving about?
Why, you remember that other Kate of whom Shakespeare said, a woman moved is like a fountain troubled?
Hey, that's from The Taming of the Shrew.
Yes, indeed. Shakespeare wrote about a Kate, too, only he had Petruchio tame her.
Wait a minute.
I could... Yes, Peter, you could.
Sure. Why not?
Why not, indeed? The end, I dare say, would justify the means.
You're right. I'll show her who's master.
Good boy.
I'll crack the whip. And by my prophetic soul, I'll not budge an inch.
I have supper already, Mr. Bradford. You sit down and I'll put it on the table. You too, Cornell.
No sooner said than done, dear lady.
Where's Kate?
Well, she's in the living room. She says she'll have supper later.
She'll have it now, with us.
Oh, dear.
There'll be no more of this foolishness. I'll go in and get her.
Goodness me, what in the world?
All right, woman, come out of there and stop your sulking.
Are you addressing me?
I am, and if you don't come out in 5 seconds, I'll come in and carry you out.
I'd like to see you try it.
Okay, you asked for it.
Don't you come near me.
Come on.
Take your hands off me.
Up you come into my arms. Sweet
you
Kate.
Put me down.
Now to bring you to the table. And stop struggling. Don't do any good.
You let go of me, you maniac.
Ah, here we are. I will set you down.
You regret this, Peter Bradford?
The Petruchio Bradford to you, Kate.
Oh, goodness me, Cornell. What's happening?
It's just a matter of principle, dear lady. Pay no attention.
Oh, but...
Here, help yourself to some more of this roast beef. Mmm, it's delicious.
Well, Kate, now that you're seated at the dinner table, eat.
If you think I'd take a bite of food sitting next to
you... Are you going to eat, or must I feed you myself?
Why, of all the outrages I ever heard
I'm losing my patience, Kate.
You mean you're losing your mind? Oh, Andy, how can you sit there and eat as though nothing were happening?
What can I do, dear? Besides, the roast beef gets me cold. Have some more, Cornell.
With pleasure, dear lady.
Andy, to think you could go back on me.
Leave her out of this. This is between you and me, Kate. From now on, you're doing as I say.
Oh, you think so, do you?
Yes.
Out of my way.
I'm warning you. If you leave this table, I'll carry you right back here again.
I'm not only leaving this table, I'm leaving this house.
Okay, I'm coming after you.
Oh, you are you? Well, come ahead, Petruchio.
Kate, put down that rolling pin.
Duck, my boy, duck.
Hey, look out.
Oh, dear.
Oh, alas and alack, too late, too late. But at least he tried.
Cornell, won't you please tell me what this is all about?
Dear lady, let's just say that Shakespeare backfired on us.
Auntie, my case, you hate her just lying there all still and white.
Well, you did.
Oh, what have I done? Peter. Oh, won't somebody do something? We can't just let him lie there.
That's right, we can't.
Come, let's bear the warrior to his room. He was true to his cause, poor boy.
What are you gibbering about?
He said he wouldn't budge an inch. And now, by my faith, he's keeping his word.
Oh, Peter, please speak to me. I didn't mean to hit you. Oh, Cornell, he's still...
I know. He's out, like the proverbial light.
Oh, Peter, if you'll only say something, if you'll only forgive me, I'll do anything. I'll even sweep out the theater.
Oh, he looks so natural lying there.
Oh, don't say that.
But, my dear...
I I'm going downstairs and see what's keeping Felicia with those cold compresses.
Very good. I'll stand watch over him.
I'll be right back.
Okay, Peter. We're alone now. You can stop acting.
Oh, you and your taming of the shrew.
But my boy...
If this lump on my head gets any bigger, I can understudy for that two-headed calf.
Peter... Peter, I don't think you'll have to worry about that bovine doubleheader anymore.
What do you mean?
Why, Kate's in love with you.
You think so?
Ah, me. There are none so blind as those that will not see. Ah, Kate.
Cornell, how is he?
The patient has awakened, my dear. I believe his indomitable spirit will pull him through. Be kind to him.
Oh, thank goodness.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll see you both anon. Cheerio.
Oh, Peter.
Kate.
Peter, I'm sorry.
You shouldn't be. I deserved it.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll leave tomorrow.
Oh, no, Peter. Not tomorrow or ever. Not if you don't want to.
You mean that?
With all my heart.
Oh, Kate. Sweet Kate.
My poor, misguided Petruchio.
Kiss me, Kate.
Darling, I promise I won't ever do anything against your wishes again. I'll even have the tent taken down if you want me to. Except that...
Except what?
Well, maybe we'd better leave it there after all.
Oh?
With a two-headed calf as an added attraction, we should play to standing room only every performance.
Featured Norma Ransom. The supporting players were Hope Summers, Arthur Peterson, and George Stevens. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Barber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Next Saturday, Curtain Time will present romantic comedy entitled Grand Slam on the Nancy Bee. And now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart, many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of the new Coconut Ping Bar present...
Good night!
Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Metal Banker. And next Saturday, be with us once again for Curtain Time. Remember, for a real taste thrill, try the new Coconut King.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.